WCNC Charlotte. This is Flashpoint, where power and politics collide and the tough questions get asked and answered.
Thanks for joining us here on Flashpoint. I'm Ben Thompson. Well, after years of debate, on Monday, mobile sports betting will finally be legal here in North Carolina. And between all the ads featuring your favorite celebrity, promotional deals, and big bucks for the state, it's very easy to get excited. But there is a downside. Coming up in a few minutes, how the state is preparing for the very real issue of gambling addiction that comes with this news. But first, joining us now is sports betting regulation expert and editor of Sports Betting Dime, Robert Linehan. Robert, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on. I know it's a busy time down there in North Carolina.
It is. Lots of folks really excited about this. Listen, you've watched this play out in states across the country. You write about it. Give us, with that context, give us some perspective about how big of a deal it is to have sports betting roll out here in North Carolina in the next week.
Sure. Well, North Carolina is expected to be a very healthy sports betting market in the country, not to mention that it's likely going to be the only state to launch sports betting in 2024. Right now, there are no other states that have any scheduled launches. A few states are considering legislation to legalize sports betting, but even if they do get something done, they're likely not going to launch this year. So North Carolina could be the only state and will likely be the only state to launch this year. I know operators, I know sports betting companies are very excited for North Carolina. It's not going to be, you know, North Carolina is not going to be a top five market in the country. It's not going to be in New Jersey or in New York. Those two states dominate the sports betting landscape. But there's a lot to be excited about for North Carolina. It's a populous state. You have some crazy sports fans down there. A lot of residents that have been clamoring for sports betting legalization over the last couple of years, as this has been discussed. You have a very healthy college sports fandom down there, and it's perfect that this is launching a week before the March Madness tournaments begin. So there's a lot to be excited about in North Carolina, and there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic that the North Carolina sports betting market is going to be a very healthy one. That
you mentioned the revenue. How much revenue are we talking about here in this first year?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, these are just estimates, but, you know, the first actually for these estimates for the first fiscal year, the 2023-2024 fiscal year, the estimate is there is going to be no tax revenue coming in for this. But that's just basically how the calendar falls. During the first full year of sports betting, the fiscal estimates say that the state could bring in nearly $65 million of additional tax revenue. By year five, when, you know, typically year five is when the sports betting market has, you know, basically aged and is topping out and is a mature sports betting market. By year five, North Carolina, according to these fiscal estimates, when the bill was passed, could be seeing an additional $100.6 million in annual revenue. You know, this is revenue that the state was losing out on, you know, for in years past when people were sports betting in North Carolina, because as you know, sports betting was going on in the state before it was legalized. Sure. It was, you know, being handled by offshore regulators, offshore sports betting operators. North Carolina wasn't getting any tax dollars from it. So this should be, you know, $100 million in terms of a state budget. It's not $100 million seems like a lot, but in terms of a state budget, it's not a ton of money. But this is revenue that the state was missing out on that could have gone to supporting, you know, higher education, youth athletics, all of the good things that the bill has earmarked the tax revenue for. So it's going to be a nice drop in the bucket for the state, and it's just going to be money that they were losing out on in past years.
Yeah, you're talking about state budget. That's billions and billions. But still, money's money, and everybody likes money. You mentioned this a second ago, but there's a lot of folks already betting using VPNs, dark websites to bet in other states. So based on your reporting, do you think there are folks who want to bet, haven't been doing that, and haven't currently found a way to do it, that are now going to be jumping on the bandwagon?
Oh, absolutely. This provides North Carolinians or North Carolina residents with a safe and legal way to bet on sports in the state. With some of these offshore regulators, you're basically giving your private information to, an offshore regulator that, who knows what they're doing with what you're giving them. You're basically giving them your bank account information, and who knows who's handling it, who knows who's seeing it. So this absolutely will give people peace of mind. People that might have been hesitant to, throw $25 into an account and, bet on UNC in the upcoming March Madness tournament. So absolutely, this is going to bring in more people to the sports betting market in North Carolina. Like I said, these legally licensed operators in the state will, they're going to provide services that the offshore books don't. There's going to be more responsible gaming. They're going to be paying certainly more attention to responsible gaming issues as opposed to some of the unlicensed regulators. So this is certainly a safer way and a more responsible way for residents in the state to participate in sports betting. And you're going to see that certainly when it launches on the 11th, and you'll see how many people are going to be enjoying this as the state moves forward.
Any common problems that you've seen in rollouts across the states that folks should be wary of in this first year?
Not really. This is old hat for a lot of these operators right now. DraftKings and FanDuel are licensed each in more than 20 states apiece at this point. So they know what they're doing. There's typically not a lot of technical difficulties in the state. I mean, you do have some newer operators in the state, like ESPN Bet, Underdog. This is actually going to be the first state where they launch sports betting. But they've been around for years offering daily fantasy sports contests. I know for a fact that they likely will have a good platform for customers to use and a great app to use. So I don't think you're going to be seeing too much in the way of difficulties. I mean, there's always, there could always be some people that may not get a bonus that they're offered or something may happen along those lines when they sign up. But, all of these operators have a great customer service representatives. If you do run into a problem, contact the number that they have prominently displayed in their sportsbook apps and on their websites. And I think it's going to be smooth sailing in North Carolina. This is too big of a state. It's too big of a market for these operators not to be on the top of their game when this launches. And that you don't want to be the one operator, you don't want to be the one operator that's down for a couple hours on opening day when the others are raking in the cash and registering new users. So I would not imagine that there's going to be too much that could go wrong. I'll knock on wood when I say that. I'm saying that right now. And then, maybe seven out of the eight will have problems on the first day. But typically, it's usually pretty smooth sailing. They've all been here before. This is old hat for them. I really don't think there's going to be too much that could go wrong on Monday, March 11th, when North Carolina launches online sports betting.
Listen, it's very exciting. And Robert Linnan, you have given us a great lay of the land here. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. And thank you very much for having me.
Up next on Flashpoint, how the state is beefing up resources to help battle gambling addiction. Welcome back to Flashpoint. We continue our conversation about sports betting as it gets ready to launch here on Monday across North Carolina, but there is a real concern about addiction, especially when it comes to young men. Joining us now is Kelly Crosby. She's the Director of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services for the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Kelly, welcome to Flashpoint. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of excitement surrounding sports betting. Every commercial we see, celebrities talking about it. It is very easy to get caught up in it, get excited about it. Yeah. But I would imagine from your vantage point, you urge some caution.
Yes. So, you know, gambling can be fun. It can be entertaining. And as long as people keep it in that place, then that's great. It's a form of entertainment, and you pay X amount of dollars for entertainment, and that's fine, right? It could be treated that way. But for other people, it might become a challenge, and they may develop problem behaviors.
More on that in just a moment. What impact is this having on your office?
So our team, we've had the North Carolina Problem Gambling Program for years. But with the advent of new gambling opportunities in North Carolina, our fundings have been increased. So we have been preparing for some time now additional programs to impact communities, colleges, high schools, additional education campaigns, things like today, where we're trying to get the word out about resources to folks. So we've just been doing a lot of preparation just for the community and also for our treatment field to be prepared.
Do you feel like you have, your office has the resources you need?
We do. I mean, obviously you always want more. We can't predict the full impact, but you know, we're grateful for the funding that we do have. We have, you know, when you think about problem gambling, you try to come at it from a preventative standpoint first. So we're putting a lot of our resources into prevention, and we've got a lot of great partnerships, like with Tar Heel Athletics. We've got programs at Duke and UNC Chapel Hill, High Point University. We're working with ECU. We have our text, chat, and call campaign. So we do have a lot of resources aimed at groups who might be higher risk, and just for the general community, so folks know where to go for information if they're wondering about what problem gambling might look like, to reduce the stigma if people are concerned and they want to reach out for help, and then to make sure our actual treatment providers, if some do develop problem gambling behaviors, that our clinicians, behavioral health therapists, know the signs and know effective treatment.
I feel like in the early days of this, it might be hard for people to be able to detect whether somebody's just enjoying it or if they have actually a problem. But say 6 months down the road, a year from now, what should they be looking out for to understand whether somebody's just having fun or if they're displaying some addictive personality traits?
That is a great question. Thank you for that question. So, you know, again, I mentioned this earlier in the interview, but think of this analogy. So you might go out on a Friday night, you might go out to dinner and a show or a movie, and you spend $150. And that's money well spent. You're not expecting to get anything in return. So if you find yourself in a situation, though, where you spent $150 on gambling, that was the limit you set, but that is a loss to you, and you expected to make $150 back. You're doing something called chasing the loss. That's a warning sign. But some really more obvious warning signs are you spend much more time or money than you expected to. So you maybe set a limit, you set time, and you're spending more time or money. You begin to gamble as opposed to some of the activities you typically do. So it could be you're trying to sneak in some gambling at work, or instead of hanging out with your friends or socializing or doing some of the other recreational things you're doing, you're choosing to gamble instead. Kind of more serious cases, folks may do things like spend money maybe they had for bills or their mortgage on gambling instead. They find themselves craving gambling or very unhappy as they're gambling, and they need to play for longer and more. They need to win. They need to win more than they lost to feel better. And then, of course, some people may engage in more challenging behaviors, like actually stealing money, missing work, missing school to gamble instead. And that's sort of like a path from lower level use to severity. But it really does affect your emotions. So if you see emotional and behavior changes, that's when you know that you might have a problem.
That's on the individual level. What groups are you worried about? I mean, you mentioned talking about making sure we're talking about young men and things like that. What groups are you worried about?
Fantastic question. So just like other addictions, there can be a biological predisposition. And when you think about gambling, it hits that place in our brain that we get a hit. We get a hit of dopamine. We get a hit of those good chemicals that make us feel good when we win. We risk and we win. That makes us feel really good. So there's kind of a biological component, and some people we know are more predisposed to that biological component. You don't always know who you are, but just we say that just so folks are careful. But there, any gambling can affect anyone. It affects folks from all walks of life, all communities. But there are some folks that maybe are potentially more predispositioned biologically, as I mentioned. But if you grew up in a home or in a community where gambling was a common practice, you may be more predisposed to gamble or develop a gambling problem. Young people are more at risk. Their brains are still developing. And so while they're introduced to this kind of stimuli that makes them feel really good, it's easier to crave it. Their brains are still forming. And also, you know, young people are still learning how to think logically. And so we see sometimes things like magical thinking where they feel like there's some skill involved rather than it being a luck game. So it's much more easier for folks, younger folks, to be predisposed. We also see young men in particular have higher rates of problem gambling. People that are actually drinking. So folks who are drinking or using other substances are more predisposed to develop a gambling problem.
If somebody needs help, and again, they might not know they need help in the next few weeks because it's going to be a fun new thing everybody's doing. But say a few months from now, they think they need help. What can they do? How can they reach out to your office?
Yeah, so you can go to our website that is morethanagame.nc.gov, morethanagame.nc.gov, and you will see there a 1-800 number. You will see a text feature, and you will see specific resources. If you're a family member and you're concerned about a loved one or a friend, if you're a person who thinks they might have a problem, if you are a clinician who is concerned that you don't have the resources to meet the needs of your clients. So there are resources. It's a very easy to understand website. It shows you the number you can call 24/7, the number you can chat 24/7, and it shows you specific resources. There is free just education available, treatment available. You can even go to that website if you're a school or you're a community organization and you want to get resources, training for your team, education for your community. You can go to that website too. So there are lots of resources there. And we tried to make it easy with a nice, easy website that people could find, morethanagame.nc.gov.
All right. And it's important that they have those resources because this is an exciting time. Lots of folks excited about it, but we do want people to be responsible and be careful.
That's right.
Kelly Crosby, Director of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services for the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Kelly, thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
Next on Flashpoint, Super Tuesday in the rearview mirror, but there is questions about how the address and party affiliation of one voter in Stanley County changed without her permission. Welcome back to Flashpoint. Super Tuesday is come and gone, and the results are in. However, the State Board of Elections, along with a local election office, they're asking questions after a hang-up at the polls. A voter said someone changed her party affiliation and other personal information without her permission. WCNC Charlotte's Nate Morbido is digging into what happened in Stanley County.
Stanley County's Director of Elections told me this is an uncommon situation, though, and what's especially alarming here is the signature on this voter's registration application does not match her driver's license signature. In fact, it's not even close.
Is that your signature?
Absolutely not. My first name begins with an S.
Stephanie Smith has so many questions.
I have no idea who that is.
The Stanley County woman says ahead of Super Tuesday, she went to the state's website to confirm her voting precinct.
I'm always registered as unaffiliated or independent voter.
And quickly noticed a problem.
When I saw that I was registered Democrat, I was very confused.
Smith says she immediately went to the election office, afraid this might have been a clerical error.
Was my choice taken from me is essentially my biggest fear.
But her fears only grew when workers printed out the last voter registration form they received from the Department of Motor Vehicles, the agency she says she registered through last year when she secured her new driver's license. She says not only did she see someone else's signature, she noticed the wrong place of birth listed and a submission date several days before the state issued her new license.
Somebody's messing with something that I can't see and I don't like it because I should have full control over what that information states.
The Heritage Foundation, a conservative-leaning research and educational organization, has documented limited, proven instances of election fraud in North Carolina and across the country over the years.
We work hand-in-hand with our partners at the local, state, and federal level to secure our elections.
Both the Stanley County Board of Elections and state are now looking into this specific situation further. In the meantime, Smith is hoping her provisional ballot will eventually count. She says she voted Republican.
After election officials investigate Smith's record, they'll present that information to the County Board of Elections, who will then decide whether further action is required. The County Board meets next week. This is the first instance like this we have heard of.
More Flashpoint after this. Welcome back to Flashpoint. Come interact with us on social media. Let us know if there's something you want us to talk about here on Flashpoint. And as always, remember to listen and subscribe to our podcast. You can find it wherever you get yours. And we'll see you back here next weekend.